Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, a good holiday afternoon to all of you from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the December 18th, 2010 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all of you out there in Brevard County, Space Coast land, and across the country online. Those of you who have live here locally know that I've spent the last 3 days hosting the Bill Mick Live Show in the morning. Done 9 hours of radio already this week, and now we come along for just a little one-hour extra show here called Space Talk. I'm looking forward to doing it. It's going to go by so fast. It reminds me of like when we drive home to Minnesota, and you drive 30 hours home and 30 hours back, and then you make a quick little trip to Orlando. And that little trip to Orlando just is like you blink and you miss it. And that's kind of how I feel like today. If we blink, we're going to miss the show. So pay attention, listen carefully. We're going to be talking about space education today, efforts by local officials to inspire the future generation of space explorers and to help us do that. And I've been looking forward to this for a very long time. My good friend Garrett McCabe, a sixth grader at Ralph Williams Elementary School in Vieira, is my host or my guest. He could probably host the show, actually, as it turns out. What'll you hear from him? And along with Garrett and his parents and lovely sister Delaney, Adrian Lafitte of Lockheed Martin is with us, and Adrian wearing a hat today of the National Space Club Florida Committee, which is very involved in this project. And we'll get into that here later in the program. But first, some space-related news to share with you, and especially about concerning when the next launch will be. So let's go ahead and do our official live launch forecast for this week, brought to you by United Space Alliance, innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, in regards to the next launch, it looks like it is going to be the Space Shuttle Discovery on February 3rd. Target launch time right now, based on when the space station flies overhead, is going to be about 1:34 in the morning of February 3rd. So all rumors you heard about the last night launch for the shuttle program, which we've now bragged about two or three times during the last couple years. In fact, another night launch coming up in February. And, in fact, if Endeavour holds to April, that launch looks like it will also be in the middle of the night as well. So it may be that, in fact, we can be bragging that we've already seen the last daylight launch of a space shuttle, which, in a way, would be sad as well. Well, in any case, to get Discovery ready to fly on February 3rd, as you may recall, during launch attempts here, the beginning of this month in December, scrubbed because of concerns about hydrogen leaks and other issues then discovered on the tank, the external tank of Discovery. So to troubleshoot that problem and understand what was going on, yesterday out at the Kennedy Space Center, the launch team filled up the external tank with its full load of liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen. After filling up the tank, they let it sit out there for a while, as it would do normally for a launch day. They went through a simulated countdown, taking it all the way down to T-minus 31 seconds, which at that point, the tanks are fully pressurized. The main engines were purged and had the propellant right there ready to go to start up. And then, of course, they aborted the countdown as planned. But that put the whole propulsion system through its paces. And by doing that, everything went well. Everything looked normal to them. The tank was loaded with, I think the count was 89 sensors to measure various temperatures and pressures and stresses on the tank and on some of the hardware that they're concerned with, some of the hardware that had cracked and was being replaced out at the pad. So they've recorded all that data. They're going to continue to look at that data. The plan now is to roll the Space Shuttle Discovery back from Pad 39A back into the Vehicle Assembly Building and there do some additional inspections and checks and repairs as needed. And depending on what they find and what extra work needs to be done, especially considering that the place pretty much shuts down between Christmas and New Year's, they'll get Discovery back on the pad first early part of January and again be back in the position to launch on February 3rd. So we keep our fingers crossed, and we'll keep monitoring the situation for you. Again, we're down to two, if not three, more shuttle launches left, and I think a lot of attention. I was surprised to see the amount of national media attention yesterday on Discovery's tanking test. It was kind of interesting. Other things going on, by the way, flying and not flying and whatnot, just to let you know that still yet this year, to get you a feel for what's going on around the world, China, first of all, launched a navigation satellite yesterday. And by the end of this year, if everybody gets their rockets off the ground as planned, you can expect to see two more rocket launches from Russia to orbit, one to orbit from India, and one more Ariane 5 launch by Europe from South America, carrying Spanish and South Korean satellites. So while we sit here, well, I don't want to say twiddling our thumbs because that has a bad connotation, but while we sit here waiting to see what we're going to do next, the rest of the world remaining very, very active in space. In other launch news really quick, Soyuz took off from Baikonur on Wednesday. Three more crew members up to the International Space Station. They docked yesterday. And by the way, if you're in the space community and you've seen some of these pictures floating around, the crew picture for this particular group you've got to take a look at. And maybe I'll try to go post it on our website. The crew, Katie Coleman, a NASA astronaut, and there was an Italian astronaut and a Russian cosmonaut as the commander. And the Russian cosmonaut, the look on his face was absolutely priceless. And people have been writing fake captions for this picture. And let's just say a lot of them had to do with the fact that he didn't look like he was so thrilled to be flying with a woman. Because in Russia, of course, the culture is such that it is. So a lot of fun with that this past week, making the rounds. So anyway, that's kind of what's going around our world and in space this week. And before we take our first break here, I want to just sort of introduce again the topic that we're going to get into here, space education in general. The National Space Club Florida Committee several years ago, actually about 7 or 8 years ago, had always been a group that whatever money we raised, whatever money we gathered together from our various events, we would spend on two or three kids, college age, on scholarships. And great program, always good to help out college kids, kids that are going into the aerospace arena, engineers. But we found that, you know, at that point, they were well along in their schooling, and they had already dedicated to space. And while that made a lot of sense to spend the money on kids like that, we felt like, you know what, even if we didn't give them the money, they were smart enough, they were getting scholarships, they already kind of had a helping hand. I thought, well, how can we get more bang for our buck with the kind of money we were spending? And at the same time, there were these studies coming out that was showing that, you know, kids were not deciding to go into aerospace. They were not choosing to pick careers that required heavy math and science. And those that were the kind of kids that were being inspired to do and make those kind of career choices early on. You got kids right now in 5th, 6th, 7th grade, especially in that year of 6th grade where they're about ready to go into middle school, that literally are going to have more choices about what kind of classes they can take. And are they going to choose to take the math and science classes that are going to set them up for high school, which in turn set them up for college? It's kind of weird to be talking to a 6th grader and saying, make your career choice because what you take now is going to affect what you take in college. But that's the truth of the matter. And if you don't dedicate yourself to start spending time on those tougher classes early, you're not going to get the prerequisites done to get yourself set up for high school and set yourself up for college. And so with all that in mind, the National Space Club Florida Committee decided that it would try to spend its money on a way to influence more kids, and specifically the 6th graders of Brevard County. And there is a rest of the story to go with that. And when we come back from our first break, we'll get into that, and we'll welcome our guest, 6th grader Garrett McCabe, to the show. His father, Dennis, is here. Adrian Lafitte from Lockheed Martin will also be here. And me too, and maybe you too. Stay with us. This is Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
Space Talk is back in a minute. Call Jim now at 768-1240 and star 1240 for AT&T wireless customers. Call Jim now, 768-1240, or star 1240 for AT&T wireless customers.
Well, there's no sleigh rides going on in Brevard County today, none that I can tell. I guess you can do some water skiing. You can brave the cooler weather and the rain. Let's get rid of that rain. It sure do need it. But wouldn't it have been nice if about another 20 degrees cooler and that turned into snow? We were talking about when was the last time it really, really did snow in Central Florida, and I don't ever remember any accumulation. I remember a couple of years ago there was reports of snow at the Kennedy Space Center, and everybody just dropped what they were doing and ran outside to go see it, and you really couldn't see it except for that if you happened to wear a dark coat. You could see it coming down on the person who was wearing the dark coat. So anybody who was wearing a dark coat that day was the center of attention. The snow would hit them, and you'd see that little white fleck on there just for a second, and then it would evaporate and melt, and that was our excitement. But it was such an excitement that I remember WMNB actually calling me in the office and putting me live on the radio to cover the snow falling at the Kennedy Space Center. It was a lot of fun. Not this day. Not today. Well, again, welcome back to this edition of Space Talk brought to you by Space Florida. Again, you're welcome to give us a call. Join into the conversation anytime you want with your questions or comments. Give us a call at 321-768-1240. If you're a local AT&T wireless customer here on the Space Coast, star 1240 will get you in free to the studio. And wherever you happen to be listening to us, live locally or even online at WMMBAM.com, send us an email. The address is spacetalking@AOL.com. That'll get you in here, too, and join in the conversation. Well, we were saying that every sixth grader in Brevard County, we wanted to find a way to influence them. We thought that was the right age. The National Space Club Florida Committee, about 7 or 8 years ago, decided to take its money that it had been spending on scholarships and find a way to excite kids about space. And we figured the more the merrier. And if we can get some youngsters excited about space and or just science and math in general, that that age would be a great age to influence. And so we approached Brevard County, the school district, and we worked with the Brevard School Foundation because the money we had certainly wasn't enough to pay for the whole thing. And by working all together with a bunch of folks, we were able to start making this program happen. And in the studio today to talk about it, first of all, I want to introduce Adrian Lafitte. Adrian, longtime Atlas Launch Director out at the Cape and now Director of Government Relations for Lockheed Martin, is our man on the site, on the scene, for handling this program for the National Space Club Florida Committee. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Glad to have you here today. And you know, I've talked to moonwalkers, I've talked to astronauts, senators, congressmen, actors, actresses, a lot of famous people, and it doesn't faze me. But I've never been so excited and looking forward more to this particular guest during the last few weeks as my good friend here, sixth grader from Ralph Williams Elementary School, Garrett McCabe. Garrett, welcome to Space Talk. Glad to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Mr. Benke.
All right. First line, and Mom breathes a sigh of relief. Also in the studio today are his parents, Paula and Dennis McCabe. And the McCabes and the Bankies are good friends for many years, going back to church together. And Garrett watched him grow up, and he's still growing up, and he's getting too tall. His sister Delaney, also in the studio today, wearing the same outfit as my wife. It was unplanned, but they sure do look cute together. We never had a daughter, you know. Okay, let's talk about this. Garrett, every sixth grader in Brevard County gets to go to the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex and spend a day touring. Let's hear, first of all, give us your vision, give us your memories of what it was like, about 2 weeks ago, your class got to go. Tell us about the day in a few words.
Well, the day was very exciting and very educational for me.
Yeah.
And we had a good time and with different experiences with the Lockheed Martin and the Meet the Astronaut and the IMAX theater.
So take me back to the beginning. You get to school, and it's not your normal bus ride to a field trip, is it?
Nope, it was not a normal bus ride. Because at the beginning of the school day, we saw these giant buses roll in, and we're like, are those the buses that we're riding in?
Uh-huh.
And then once we lined up and went out to the classroom, we're like, whoa. And they were definitely better than the school bus.
And of course, we're talking about the double deckers? Are they still doing double deckers, or was it just the
it
one?
It was just the single.
The regular, but the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex buses with
yes.
the, what, DVD playing and
yes.
whatnot? What did you watch on your way up to the center?
We watched how they had the crawler. They showed how the crawler worked
uh-huh.
and how the different tracks and
so not an episode from like you know or a movie Apollo 13 or anything. They showed you actual real stuff.
Yeah, they showed the
well,
real
that's
stuff
that's
the
good.
Rocket, yes.
So you get off there, you get paired up with your classes, and there was like three or four other schools there that same day, and you did through these different activities. And the Lockheed Martin one was fun. The guy was really good. Talk about some of the things he did with you.
It was first of all, the guy was really really funny and energetic. He showed us some he told us what the different types of fuel, I mean, the type of fuel that they used inside
uh-huh.
of the inside the external fuel tank to
okay.
propel the rocket up into space.
Sure.
And they also told us how to count down in Japanese.
In Japanese.
Yes.
Well, you know, international relations is important. Okay, so now get to the good one. Get to the good one. Something about recycling water or something like that? Was that the one that got everyone going? I don't know, Adrian, do you want to tell that one being the adult in the room? The only adult in the room, I might add.
Yeah, basically what Herb Jamada, which is our Lockheed Martin person that's been doing it, he explained how you have to convert urine into water.
Okay.
So he's going through that process, but in the process of doing that, he tricks the kid thinking that he hasn't done the conversion and sprays the kid, obviously, with water. But it really gets their attention of how important it is to make sure that things are done correctly in space.
Garrett, you weren't in the wet zone, were you? In the splash zone?
I might have been close to that area.
got a little nervous there. And so then you're walking around. At some point, I know you went into the IMAX theater, of course,
yes.
because that day I happened to be there and you know, we have to wear the suit coat and all that and be professional and all that and say welcome and say all these neat things. But after I got done, you saw a neat science demonstration. I know that.
Yes.
And what was it like to see them play with that liquid nitrogen? Was that kind of
neat? It was really cool.
No pun intended, actually, as it turns out.
Yeah.
So they froze what? What did she freeze?
I think it might have been a
I can't remember now. Did they do like a rose or something or flower?
I think it might have been like a flower, probably.
Oh, man. And then so you get this flower and you dunk it in the liquid nitrogen and it instantly freezes, crystallizes, and then you bang it and it breaks into a million pieces.
And I've seen it on videos in class
yeah.
because our teacher showed us that before. And just seeing it in real life, like, you know, like hearing the crack and seeing uh-huh. the little pieces go everywhere that you couldn't see on the video screen.
Oh, sure.
Is really, really fascinating,
wow.
if you ask me.
So what movie did you see? Do you remember?
We saw Hubble 3D.
Hubble, so they put your glasses on and Hubble
yes.
comes live and all that? That's amazing stuff. Now, do you guys regularly talk about Hubble at all in your school, or was this kind of a new thing to you?
This was kind of a new thing, really, with the Hubble telescope.
Yeah, interesting. So now, after that, you're off to where? It went... did you do a scavenger hunt? Was that part of this year's activities?
I think we did the scavenger hunt in the rocket garden.
In the rocket garden?
Yes. We had to find out they told us some what type of rocket and what type of person. So we had to match up the rocket and the person.
Okay.
Who flew the rocket up.
Okay.
And so we had to match those up with the different rockets.
Oh,
stuff
that's
like
so
that.
Cool. That is so cool.
And just seeing the rockets there and just seeing the different size of them. From the different times in the
mm-hmm.
space. It was really, really cool.
You know, being the sixth grader, you know, all that was ancient history when those things flew. Did it look like ancient history to you?
No, it didn't.
Really?
It didn't look like ancient history.
Huh. That's weird. So from there, what was next? Lunch at some point?
No, next was after the Rocket Garden, we went to the astronaut presentation.
Oh, okay. And do you remember who you saw, which astronaut?
It was Mark Lee.
Oh, Mark Lee. Okay,
yes.
Good guy. Real
yeah.
good guy, yeah.
He was really cool, and like he showed us some of the different things that he did up in space. about the, I think he landed the space shuttle a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he showed us that he had to come in like a giant, like they did. I didn't know that they had to come in at like a wide angle,
okay.
like over Asia or something, just to
do get, what's called an S turn,
yeah,
to burn off the to burn off energy.
Yeah.
Shuttle, as you know, a big glider can't just come straight down. You could, but you'd have too much energy. You'd
mm-hmm.
overfly Florida. Next thing you know, you're landing in, you know, the Bermuda Triangle somewhere. So you got to bleed off this energy. And by doing these S turns over way ahead of where you're going to land, you bleed off that energy. And then you come down. And did he talk about the final approach? Because that's a pretty scary thing, too.
Yeah, he also talked about the final approach and how you slowly came in with the aircraft, and then they hit the parachutes, and
uh-huh.
then how the parachutes came off, and they just slowly, slowly stop.
And magically, the commander always lands with the nose wheel on the center line of the runway.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. Well, believe it or not, we're halfway through the show already.
Halfway
Can you believe it? Isn't that amazing? We're going to pause right now. We're going to take our five-minute built-in hold, get you all caught up on news, weather, and sports. And when we come back, we'll pick Garrett's brain some more, get reaction from the parents, and talk about the importance of this program to the rest of our space program. All that coming up on the second half of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Bankey. You're listening to WMMB.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Bankey.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It sure is.
Everywhere you go, take a look in the 5 and 10.
Aaron's picking good space or Christmas music, but it's against my very nature and my soul to get in the way of Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby, what we say, Bing Crosby, Dean Martin, and Amy Grant. Best Christmas music out there. So, well, welcome back to the second half of Space Talk on WMMB. Brought to you, of course, by Space Florida, driving state economic development across the global aerospace enterprise. And as always, you're welcome to join in on our conversation today about space education and with young Garrett McCabe from Ralph Williams Elementary School. If you're a fellow student or teacher and want to stump him, well, now's a good chance to put him on the spot. Give us your questions or comments. Give us a call, 321-768-1240, star 1240 for local AT&T wireless customers. And as always, the email is open to you, spacetalking@AOL.com is the address. So we're talking space education. We're talking about a program every year where every sixth grader in Brevard County gets to tour the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. Compliments of a lot of good people and a lot of neat organizations, which we will mention momentarily with the help of Adrian Lafitte from Lockheed Martin. But Garrett McCabe, our sixth grade friend, Garrett, you're telling us about the day, and I want to finish out the activities real quick. We were in the Rocket Garden doing a scavenger hunt. Then you went to the other end of the place at some point and took a ride.
Yes, the shuttle launch experience.
Which we don't call a ride, by the way, before Dylan North calls me and yells at me.
It's an experience.
You went across the other side and had an experience.
Yes.
What was that like?
That was very, very cool because I've never really been in a experience where you go up in a shuttle,
yeah,
and at a vertical angle, and you get a feel like it's vibrating and going up, and then you just slowly feel it feels like you're in an astronaut's position,
okay,
in the space shuttle.
Okay, and then the big finish is what, you're in orbit?
Yes.
But then, as I understand, they kind of leave you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment, too. What else happened? What else was fun? Anything else that you want to bring up?
What else was fun was we saw the lunch was fun.
Well, the lunch was fun. Well, I was going to say, what's your best memories? What's your favorite thing? Let me ask you the question that way. What was your best thing?
The best memory was, I really liked the Rocket Garden.
Okay.
It was really cool seeing the rockets.
Good. I'm giggling here, Garrett, because we just got a question on the email, and I know where it came from, too, so I'm not sure whether it's a serious question or not, but First of all, I'm getting razzed for not having a girl on the show as opposed to Garrett being the guy. Well, Garrett's my good friend, and I chose it. It's my show, Mary. Leave me alone. But does want to know if you think, Garrett, if you think that the girls, in fact, of your school did enjoy the day. You know, so much of this stuff seems to be, you know, guys just would naturally love all this. Did you see that your, I don't want to say girlfriends, but your friends who were girls or the girls in your class seemed to be enjoying the day as well?
I think that they had a good time, and pretty sure they had a good time.
It's probably at your age, it's not something you all sit together and chat about at the end of the day. It's mostly the guys talking to the guys and the girls talking to the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I know that from when I was standing out there, and I watched the kids in line and watching them eat, and then, of course, in the IMAX theater, they clearly were having fun. You know, there's no doubt that just even getting out and having the experience is a lot of fun. Now, whether or not we've influenced them or inspired them to pursue careers of engineering or whatnot, I think we probably have. I think there's a few that are out there, just like I would expect a few guys to be inspired that same way. Tell me real quick then, what was lunch?
Lunch, I had a hot dog and a Pepsi, and they also gave us some chips. That were
so not bad.
Not bad.
Better than if you had stayed at school?
Yes.
Oh, good. The chef at Delaware North loves to hear that. Dennis McCabe, father of Garrett, what do you think about all this? He came home excited. What was Garrett's reaction from your perspective, and what do you think about this whole effort and program?
Oh, he came home very excited. I mean, he got off the bus, and Paula told me that he was kind of hopping up and down and, you know, kind of trying to tell her everything that happened that day. And
yeah.
He was very excited.
The opportunity to do a field trip like this, of course, is I don't want to say it's rare, but so often it's the usual kind of drill every year. And this has become a real staple of activities for sixth graders. You've got Delaney coming up as well in a couple of years for this. You know, when you first heard about all this, you know, what was kind of your reaction and thoughts about the whole thing?
Well, I think it's great for the kids to see the Space Center, see the rockets, meet an astronaut, meet engineers from Lockheed, and actually experience it. Because nowadays, with all the video games and the special effects and the movies, it's kind of a gray line between, you know, reality and virtual reality.
Yeah.
So, you know, the kids see, like Garrett said earlier, he sees a lot of this on TV or videos in the school, but to actually see the rockets and be there, I think, is a good experience for them.
Well, before I get to Adrian, let me ask you this. I know that you are in a technical world, and you can go ahead and plug your business and what you do, but talk about the kind of people that you need to hire, and how does a program like this help pave the way for that or make that possible?
Well, I think this type of program inspires kids to get into the engineering field. It doesn't have to end up to be in NASA, but I think it gets them excited about computers and you know, about the aerospace. And, you know, I have a business where we develop software. So I think probably, and for myself too, you know, when I was younger and watching the Apollo rockets, and that got me interested in computers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Garrett, your father makes a good point, because, and I know you well enough to know that you don't necessarily want to grow up and be an astronaut. Maybe you want to be a part of the space program, maybe not. But I think you see the value in the science and the engineering, and in a day like this, does that motivate you? Does that excite you? Do you need a day like that to be able to tell that that's what you want to do the rest of your life?
Well, it motivated me to I really like engineering and the computers.
Mm-hmm. So seeing all that in play.
Yes.
One of the points that I like to make, you know, of course, my background with an aviation business degree and being a communicator is that, you know, we always focus on the science and the math, but there are skills. All skills are needed for the space program. All skills are needed for medical, for research, wherever you're at, and so there is a place for all of that. Adrian, let's talk to you a little bit about, first of all, give us a brief sense of who's involved in making this happen and the kind of effort it takes to pull this off.
Well, before I go into that, I think listening to Garrett, I can say mission accomplished.
Yeah.
The purpose of the program is to get kids excited about what we do, and I think listening to him, I can say we have met that goal.
Oh, absolutely.
In order to do that, the Space Club, like you said, about 7 years ago, decided that the best way for us to get kids excited about the space program is science, math, engineering, is by funding what we call Brevard Space Week. We decided 7 years ago that we were going to start with a $10,000 donation And I'm very happy to say that the past 2 years, we have upped that donation to about $40,000 for this event. The significance of what the Space Club is doing is the Brevard School Foundation is now able to match with the grant the donation that we give them. So our donations actually double because of the ability to be able to get grants based on what we have been doing.
And that money, that amount of level we've been able to raise each year going up, not just because, quote unquote, there's more companies down here, but there's more of an interest and they see a value in doing this. This is a really good way to give back to the community.
Absolutely. We have every member of our industry, USA, ULA, Boeing Company, ASRC, you can go on and on. All the members of the National Space Club, the companies have contributed to the program. And besides listening to Garrett, every year we get bombarded with about maybe 1,000 letters from the kids that actually went to the program, and they send it to all the donors. And it's interesting because we also have people that make personal donations.
Yeah,
and I have heard we have a person that say, hey, I received 30 letter from my $100 donation, and I had given more money to charity and never even got a thank you.
Yeah.
So it speaks volume of the enthusiasm of the kids when they see the program.
Talk a little bit about the importance of getting these kids excited at this early age and how important it is to have that pipeline leading up to college graduates and filling a need in the aerospace industry.
Well, I think the engineering industry, especially in the United States, is suffering from a lot. I guess there's a perception that engineering is like a nerdy profession.
Right.
And I think we're trying to change that perception basically by taking the kids and showing them that it is fun to be an engineer. Not necessarily you have to be an astronaut or you have to work in the aerospace business. But nowadays, all the kids are into video games. Guess what? Engineers, software engineers, are the ones that create all the video games. A lot of kids are into the simulation. A lot of the simulations are created by kids that have been through the program. And to answer real quickly, you're talking about the difference between boys and girls. We hire a lot of female engineers, and I tell you that they are very smart engineers, and they're also very enthusiastic about helping attract more female engineers into the industry.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you know, some of the coolest kids I've ever known were engineers. Now, we used to tease them in college that they had no social life.
Yeah.
You know, but that wasn't because they were nerdy. It's just because of a lot of hard work and a lot of homework that needed to be done.
Yeah, and back in the day, we had the little pocket protector.
Little pocket protectors.
And the little slide rules. But
slide rules on everybody's belt buckle was a real big attraction.
Thank God for
Adrian.
Calculator.
That's great. Well, look, we need to stop here for just to take one more break, and then when we come back, we will talk a little bit more, wrap this conversation up. Plus, we'll give you a sense of what's coming up this week in space, kind of a neat thing happening in the sky, and talk about our plans for the holidays. So all of that coming at you here in just another moment. Again, you're listening to Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Behnke. You're listening to WMMB. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Space Talk with Jim Behnke.
You did it to me again. Nice, quiet, mellow. Here we are on Space Talk from WMMB on a holiday weekend. We hope you're enjoying your day. It's a great piece of music. It's Christmas music, but and it's not that it saps the energy out of the room. It's just that it just mellows you out completely. And for me to come in my usual bank. Well, there you go. There's some action there. All right. Well, welcome back now as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. By the way, Space Talk, coincidentally enough, also today brought to you by the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, where today is the final day for Floridians who purchase one adult admission at regular price to be able to bring in a friend or loved one absolutely free. You've still got time to get up there. Strap yourselves into the shuttle launch experience. Take a tour behind the scenes or walk beneath the massive moon rocket. All of these things one Garrett McCabe has recently done and loved it. You can even meet a real astronaut in person. It all adds up to a day of fun and a lifetime of inspiration. Details online at thekennedyspacecenter.com. By the way, we should note, just parenthetically, remind everyone that the visitor complex will be closed next Saturday on Christmas Day. And then, of course, open up again for the next 364 days
We don't have leap year next year, do we? No. And of course, that week between Christmas and New Year's gets busy. If you've got friends and family visiting, we highly encourage you to get out there that week and be a part of the fun. It's a great place to visit and definitely the number one attraction for Brevard County. Well, let's wrap up some conversations here before I got to wrap up the show. And, Garrett, let's go back to you. Garrett McCabe, sixth grader at Ralph Williams Elementary School, but not much longer. Gary, you're about to graduate from the whole elementary experience. I can tell you're ready for middle school, junior high already. What is it in your neck of the woods? Is it a junior high or a middle school?
Do
you know?
I think
middle school? Okay, which one is it? Do you remember?
McNair.
Is it McNair Middle School? Oh, good. Yeah, good school. Good. So looking forward to that? Kind of scary going from the one classroom to the multiple classrooms, or are you just ready for it?
Well, in sixth grade right now, we're at our school, we have two teachers. We go back and forth between reading and social studies and math and science.
So you kind of get a feel for that moving from place to place over the course of the day?
Yes.
Well, that's neat. So did you get to pick out your classes at all yet, or you're not quite to the point where you're doing that
quite
yet?
Quite to the point yet.
You got a ways to go. So you're going to go from being the ruling of the school now to the bottom of the whatever
food
that's
chain.
Called, the food chain. He understands it well. That's great. Garrett, thanks very much for being on the show today. We're going to talk to Adrian for the for the rest of this. Dennis, thanks again. Paula, Delaney, glad to have you guys here as well.
Thank you.
You made my day, Garrett. I mean, I've been waiting. I've been nervous, not because I knew you wouldn't do a good job, but just because I was so excited to have you on board. Adrian, representing the National Space Club Florida Committee, Adrian Lafitte from Lockheed Martin. Did you already get the job for next year? We assigned you to run this thing for one more year?
Yes. Next year, I'll be also the chairperson for Brevard Space Week for the National Space Club.
Okay.
So I'm going to put in a plug. If any of your listener would like to contribute to the event, go to the National Space Club website. And you're going to find a link in there that says Brevard Space Week, and you can make a donation anywhere from $25 all the way up to as much money as you would like to donate.
That's great. And that really is the next step now, is fundraising again and getting the money together, and then working with Delaware North on the program comes a little bit later.
Correct. And I think as we are preparing for next year, that we think we're going to be able to hopefully continue to sponsor the program. As everybody's aware, the space program is going to go to a dramatic change, but the commitment is still there from all our corporations to try to make this program continue for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Adrian, thanks for being with us. Thanks for all your work and volunteering to make this happen. And again, it's a highlight for the year for us, and we're going to do everything we can to promote it, because you can see, even in listening to Garrett today, you know, how important it is and what kind of a reach it really does have for our community. So, Adrian, thanks. We'll see you around.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey to Roz.
And I will.
Okay. Let's wrap it up here with a couple of things. First of all, I can't get away without mentioning that last Monday night, after the Vikings lost to the New York Giants, that's why I turned your microphone off, Garrett. He was wearing a New York Giants hat when he got here. I went outside and looked up at the Gemini and Orion constellations, and within 10 minutes had seen about 5 shooting stars. The Geminids were firing off pretty good this past week. That's pretty much done with now. Cold and windy it was back then. So what's it going to be like? Well, I think the rain's going to go away here this weekend, and hopefully this Monday night is what I'm really teasing you about, after the Vikings lose to the Bears. Well, we'll see. Maybe they'll win, but it's going to be an outdoor stadium event in the Gopher Stadium. You got to watch this game on Monday Night Football just to see the Vikings play outdoors again at home for the first time in like 25 years. But when you get done, stay up for the rest of the night. From about 1:33 in the morning till about 5 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have a total lunar eclipse. It's good for all of North America. We're not going to have any problem seeing it if the clouds stay away. And that, of course, is a lunar eclipse is where the moon, where the Earth gets between the sun and the moon. So as the Earth moves into position between these two bodies, our shadow gets cast on the moon. And depending on environmental conditions, atmospheric conditions, time of day, sun angles, all of those variables, that moon will look either a bright orange or a deep red or a gray. And it never fails, though, to impress as a really cool sky show. And again, so that's happening all night basically Monday night into Tuesday morning. So really, it is early Tuesday morning, and again, from about 1:30 to 5 o'clock with the peak somewhere in the middle there. So get up in the middle of the night, stick your head out, look out a window, take a quick look at it, back to bed if you want. Of course, there's things online you can follow all night to see that happening and all of that. Meanwhile, then next week on Space Talk, it is going to be Christmas Day, and Aaron and I plan to enjoy the holiday with our families. So we are going to pre-record next week's show. It'll probably be a combination of some recent best of moments from the show. Well, we might even hear Garrett talk a little bit again. That was pretty good stuff. Some new commentary from me and perhaps a space-related Christmas story or two. If you've already opened up your presents by that time at 2 o'clock, maybe you're looking to pass the time in anticipation of doing stuff in the evening. Tune in the radio 2 o'clock Saturday next week for a Space Talk, and let us help inform you and entertain you on a great family holiday. The following week, then, on New Year's Day, we'll be back with a live show in which I will plan right now anyway to review my list of the top 10 space stories of 2010 and then offer my forecast of what might actually be in store for us in 2011, at least very much set the stage for that. We might have a surprise guest or two as well. So that pretty much takes us through today and through the next couple of weeks, let you know what we're doing. So until the next time, from me and my personal chief engineer, Aaron Michaels, and our families, we certainly do wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a peaceful and prosperous New Year. I want to remind you one more time, Space Talk is sponsored by Space Florida and is a production of Mylas Solutions. And now please stay tuned on WMMB for the Home Mortgage Law Show, again right here on this station, WMMB. I'm Jim Bankey, and we'll talk to you again real soon.